Good morning and welcome back to the Dante Blog's Morning Coffee Podcast. Hope you're having a great morning, a great day, maybe a good cup of coffee. And today we are going to look at, as we talked about yesterday, we're going to look at the second response we got. We have this exchange about the ending of the sun in the Paradiso, the sun sphere. And then we're going to look at a few more tercets in Canto 15 in Paradiso. So it's a little bit windy today, but we had this choice either to just make the episode or to postpone it, but then we're just going to try doing it. So the response we got, so we asked a few scholars in both Italy and in America about this mysterious ending. And the one we're going to look at today is from Dr. Phil Carey. So he is a professor of philosophy at Eastern University in Pennsylvania. And he also has a PhD in philosophy and religious studies from Yale University. And he also has the Great Courses, this college level video series with like just excellent quality. He has especially one on religion and philosophy in European history, Western history, which is really, really good. And we made an episode together 2 years ago about the sphere of the sun. So it's kind of it's a good thing to follow this up and now with these new thoughts that we had. So we're going to look at his response. So I just sent him my thoughts about like maybe this could be the angels, the angelical forces, beings of the powers that are descending to transform and resurrect the bodies for the blessed souls. That would in many ways fit better than the third ring of human souls. And we haven't seen the angels yet in the fourth sphere, and they are charging the pilgrim and transforming him, or translating, as Dante says it, into the next level of spiritual wisdom, which could suggest something higher. And it fits into the next line in that passage where Dante is calling this a display of the Holy Spirit or the Santo Spirito. Okay, so Phil Carey is answering here, and he is saying that it's a puzzling third circle. He does not have the key to it, as no one kind of really does, but you have several interpretations and likely many of them are right. But he says here, like, two thoughts do strike me. Number one, he talks of new things, nova, coming into appearance beyond expectations, par and non par vera, which is true. Like Dante says, like, these lights that are appearing, and like they are both, like, they are there as things, but they also appear not to be there. And perhaps this is a future that is not yet real, but on the way, like stars showing up at twilight. So this is exactly right, I think, also. That it has this feeling of something that is coming, emerging, like something that is in process. And then thought number two, it is associated with the spark of the Holy Spirit, favelar del Santo Spirito, like the burning spark of the Holy Spirit. Which is true, which comes right after, as if the third circle corresponds to the third person whose coming completes the Holy Trinity. And then he makes his argument here. Put these two thoughts together. I am thinking something like an anticipation of Joachim's age of the Holy Spirit, maybe in view, a wisdom that overcomes current divisions and embraces in its larger circle both Dominican and Franciscan wisdom. Which is a great point. But Dante only catches a passing glimpse of it before he moves on. So maybe he himself doesn't quite know what he is looking for. I don't think he's a firm devotee of Joachim, but perhaps just shares his hope for a third age of the church, an age of the Spirit. It's hard to know what that may be, as the sights of these new things, like stars just appearing on the horizon, is too brief and faint to stay in his mind and follow him up to the next sphere, so he has to leave it behind. In Italian, quelle vedute si vuol lasciar che non seguir la mente. Like, this sight one must leave because not follows the mind or the memory. Like, you can't really capture it. So this view, this thought of what is happening at the end there is in some ways the established version or idea of what this might, one of the most established ones, what it might mean. So in terms of the thought that we had on this, like, there's an extra deeper level, which is about transformation that is coming. I think it's also, I agree on some of the points here, that there is something about this I think Dante is doing two things. I think he is pointing to something that is embedding both the Franciscan and the Dominican, both the heart and the light of the intellect. But he's also pointing to that this transformation is coming. And I still think that that extra depth level of the transformation is significant in terms of how this is ending the opening sphere of the Paradiso, and it creates this forceful change and kind of propel movement upwards to another state of spiritual wisdom and insight and perception and experience. So that's so we're going to think about this, and we're going to sense like keep this exchange going. But it's still very fruitful just to have, like, we have two scholars now. We have Barzaghi and we have Phil Carey, and like hearing their thoughts. And you might also just keep in mind that Barzaghi is a Dominican, like a Catholic Dominican. And Phil Carey is more like something like an Orthodox Protestant, meaning a Protestant who is very much kind of in love with the whole tradition, but still is within a more Protestant view and approach to theology, like in both like in the way of thinking and also the substance of it. So we're going to follow up both of these very inspiring conversations. Okay, so then we're going to move on to our place now in Canto 15, when the pilgrim, so kind of, we're not shifting gears, but we are moving away from the sun again up into Mars. And in terms of this idea of transformation, it still seems to fit quite well that we are now in Mars, and it's a whole new way of thinking and experiencing. And again, like that might be something to do with this, with the spirit of the powers who are the creators, and also in a spiritual sense. So the last thing we had was that Cacciaguida, like the ancestry here, is encouraging the pilgrim to voice, to sound his desire, his question, his doubts, which are already then decreed in the heavens from his great-great-grandfather. So the pilgrim is then first saying here that io mi volsi a Beatrice, like I turned towards Beatrice, e quella udio pria che io parlassi, and she heard before I talked, e arisimi un cenno che fece crescer le ali al voler mio. So she smiled to me with a sign that made grow the wings of my flight. So taken together, it's like he turns to Beatrice, and then she knows before he says anything, she knows what the question is, and she just smiles, and then suddenly his wings are growing even more for further ascent. Poi cominciai così. Then I started in this way. L'affetto è il senno, come la prima equalità vi apparse, di un peso per ciascun di voi si fenno. So here he follows up the idea of the two wheels in a deep sense. So he says, the affect and the intellect, like l'affetto e il senno, like the prime unity, or the prime kind of like equality, meaning like the sameness, the prime sameness to you appear in the plural, as one weight for any one of you it makes. So partly cryptic, but it's kind of dense, but it just means that these two dimensions for the blessed souls is not two wheels of a chariot. It's one thing. It's a united same thing. And then he continues. Però che il sol che via lume e arse, because the sun, which is then the divinity, illumination in the widest sense, that are illuminating and burning for you. So now you have like these two dimensions from the sun, the light and the heat, as those two things. Col caldo e con la luce e si iguali. With the heat, the warmth and the light is thus the same. Che tutte semiglianze sono scarse. Which all similarities, like for which or of which all similarities seem scarce, seems few. Like there are few things that are as much the same unity as the heat and the light. And you can see how suddenly you might see where this is going, that in Empyrean, this is that with the highest level is just pure light and love as divinity. The divine light, divine love, that those are the two kind of prime elements that we see it as two wheels, but they are totally united as one thing in the highest heavens. And already now at level 5, this is kind of, Dante is pointing to how this is the experience and the perception, apprehension of the blessed souls already. And then he continues, ma voglia e argomento nei mortali, but the will and the arguments in the mortals, the humans, per la cagion che a voi è manifesta, for the reason, the cause, which to you is manifest or obvious, diversamente son penuto in ali, like differently are feathered in their wings. So, again, pointing to the difference between the human way of looking and experiencing the world and the angelic or the blessed, or like the heavenly way of the experience. Like we have different wings. And this is also like a theme all along, that we can also create wrong wings. If we aim for the wrong things, the wings will not be helpful. The wings will lead us into misguided places. Okay, and he continues, ond'io che son mortal mi sento in questa diseguaglianza, like from where I as who am a mortal, I feel in myself this difference between these two dimensions, e però non ringrazio se non col cuore alla paterna festa, and because of this I am full of gratefulness, I thank you, if not just from the heart, for this, like this ancestral feast and celebration. Like these things he are now, that he is now learning, is like this celebration festa for him, and then he's thanking now with his full heart, just underlining that this is this is something that is partly beyond him, but he's kind of elevating his heart in a sense, and pointing back to the opening of Mars, this sphere, when he is having this devoted prayer with like the totality of his heart. So this is then becoming like increasingly an important point, in part because, like, even if these two wheels are, that they're both necessary, they work together, but the final part of the full union with divinity is the heart, the spirit, the mystic part. Okay, and then he says, ben supplico io a te, vivo tu pazio, che questa gioia preziosa ingemmi, perché mi facci del tuo nome sazio. So this is the last tercet of the pilgrim talking. So he says then, I well ask to you, living topaz, living gem, living treasure, who are like in gemming, like in treasuring this joyful preciousness, which is then this cross of the spiritual light and the spiritual life and the divine wisdom and light, because you make me of your name thirsty. So this is kind of, you just ask for, like, what is your name? And then we get the response here from this light. Offronde mia in che io compiacemmi, pur aspettando io fu la tua radice. So he says there that, oh my descendant, who it pleases me so much to meet with the expectation, the waiting, I am, it's almost like Star Wars here, I am your root. Io fu la tua radice. I am your root, I am your ancestry. Quotal principio risponendo femmi. Like such the beginning answering he made to me. Poscia mi disse. Then he said to me. Quel da cui si dice tua cognazione e che cent'anni e più girato a il monte in la prima cornice. So here, like the context, the history, the family history of Dante is kind of starting to unfold here. So he says, the light here says, like, and the root then, he says that the one who you are saying as your surname, meaning then Alighieri, and who for 100 years or more was circling in the mountain at the first terrace. So this is the great-grandfather of Dante himself, who he placed in the first terrace of Mount Purgatory. And then he was walking around there, kind of circling for more than 100 years. And he continues, mio figlio fu e tuo bisavol fu. So here's this in clear words here. My child was and your great-grandfather was. Ben si convien che la lunga fatica tu li ricordi con l'opere tue. Like, good it will be convenient that the long exhaustion, the long hard work, you will record and remember with your works. Meaning then, among other things, like both like the prayers of Dante will help his great-grandfather to kind of go quicker up the mountain. And it's also hinting at Le Opere could also be Dante's, all his works, including the Divine Comedy. So now we have in clarity here that this soul speaking is Cacciaguida, which was then Dante's great-great-grandfather. And just one more touch that. Fiorenza dentro della cerchia antica. So Florence inside of the ancient circle, meaning the ancient walls, which you can still see if you go to Florence, you can see remnants of this old, like you see several older like city walls because it was growing, but you can see the oldest ones, at least the towers of them, and just you can climb up some of them as well. And then, Ondella toglie ancora e terza e nona, in which it was still sounding or like touching or taking the third and the ninth, which is interesting because this is the this refers to the church bells of L'Abbadia, which is still in Florence. You can visit that as well. And this means the third and the ninth hour of the day, which is then 9 a.m. in the morning and 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Like the day started at 6. So he says then it's like you have the ancient Florence inside the ancient walls where you had the church bells in the morning and the afternoon from this L'Abbadia. Si stava in pace, sobria e pudica. One remained or one was in peace, like sober and also honest or moral. So like a virtuous time passed of Florence in peace. From the days of Cacciaguida, the days of his great-great-grandfather. So it's contrasting to the Florence that Dante was experiencing, which in his time was then in full collapse and decay and kind of destruction in a sense, with especially morally, but also as a city in itself. So we're going to stop this one here. This is about 19 minutes. That is perfect. So 20 minutes as the usual aim. So we have now, like, the pilgrim is asking for the name of this light, and he then explains that this is his root, his great-great-grandfather, and then he starts telling a little bit about the story and the context in which the great-great-grandfather Cacciaguida was living and Florence that was different at the time. And also then more virtues. Okay, so that's all we wanted to say in this episode. So hope some of this was interesting. Hope you're still having a great day. Maybe a cup of coffee, cup of tea. And as always, hope you enjoyed some of this. And see you again next time.